Chapter 28. A man who was Uwe, and a man who was Rune. Sonya used to say that Uwe was unforgiving. For instance, he refused to go back to the local bakery, 8 years after they gave him the wrong change when he bought pastries once at the end of the 1990s. Uwe called it having firm principles. They were never quite in agreement when it came to words and their meanings. He knows that she is disappointed that he and Rune could not keep the peace. He knows that the animosity between him and Rune, to some extent, ruined the possibility of Sonya and Anita becoming the great friends they could have been. But when a conflict has been going on for long enough, it can be impossible to sort out, for the simple reason that no one can remember how it first started. And Uwe didn't know how it first started. He only knew how it ended. A BMW. There must have been some people who understood it and some who didn't. There were probably people who thought there was no connection between cars and emotions. But there would never be a clearer explanation as to why these two men had become enemies for life. Of course, it had started innocently enough, not long after Uwe and Sonya came back from Spain and the accident. Uwe laid new paving stones in their little garden that summer, whereupon Rune put up a new fence around his, whereupon Uwe put up an even higher fence around his garden, whereupon Rune went off to the building supply store and a few days later started boasting all over the street that he had built a swimming pool. That was no bloody swimming pool, Uwe raged to Sonya. It was a little splash pool for Rune and Anita's newborn urchin. That was all it was. For a while, Uwe had plans to report it to the planning department as an illegal construction. But at that point, Sonya put her foot down and sent him out to mow the lawn and calm himself down. And so Uwe did just that, although it certainly did not calm him down very much at all. The lawn was oblong, about 5 yards wide, and ran along the backs of Uwe's and Rune's houses, and the house in between, which Sonya and Anita had quickly named the neutral zone. No one quite knew what that lawn was for or what function it was expected to fill. But when row housing was put up in those days, some city architect must have got the idea that there had to be lawns here and there for no other reason than that they looked so very nice in the drawings. When Uwe and Rune formed the Residents Association and were still friends, the two men decided that Uwe should be the groundsman and responsible for keeping the grass mowed. It had always been Uwe before. On one occasion, the other neighbors had proposed that the association should put out tables and benches on the lawn to create a sort of common space for all the neighbors. But obviously, Uwe and Rune put a stop to that at once. It would only turn into a bloody mess and lots of noise. And as far as that went, it was all peace and joy. At least insofar as anything could be peace and joy when men like Uwe and Rune were involved. Soon after Rune had built his pool, a rat ran across Uwe's newly mown lawn and into the trees on the other side. Uwe immediately called a crisis meeting of the association and demanded that all local residents put out rat poison around their houses. The neighbors protested, of course, because they had seen hedgehogs by the edge of the woods and were concerned that they might eat the poison. Rune also protested because he was afraid that some of it would end up in his pool. Uwe suggested to Rune that he button up his shirt and go see a psychologist about his delusions of living on the French Riviera. Rune made a malicious joke at Uwe's expense, to the effect that Uwe had probably only imagined seeing that rat. All the others laughed. Uwe never forgave Rune for that. The next morning, someone had thrown birdseed all over Rune's outside space, and Rune had to use a spade to chase away a dozen rats as big as vacuum cleaners in the next few weeks. After that, Uwe got permission to put out poison, even though Rune mumbled that he'd pay him back for this. 2 years later, Rune won the great tree conflict when he gained permission at the annual meeting to saw down a tree blocking his and Anita's evening sun on one side. The same tree on the other side screened off Uwe and Sonia's bedroom from blinding morning sunlight. Further, he managed to block Uwe's furious motion that the association would then have to pay for Uwe's new awning. However, Uwe got his revenge during the snow clearance skirmish of the following winter, in which Rune wanted to anoint himself chief of snow shoveling, and at the same time lumber the Residents Association with the purchase of a gigantic snowblower. Uwe had no intention of letting Rune walk around with some bloody contraption at the expense of the association and spray snow over Uwe's windows, which he made crystal clear at the steering group meeting. Rune was still chosen to be responsible for snow clearance, but to his great annoyance, he had to spend all winter shoveling the snow by hand between the houses. The outcome of this, of course, was that he consistently shoveled outside all the houses in their row except Uwe and Sonia's. Just to annoy Rune, in mid-January, Uwe hired a gigantic snowblower to clear the 10 square yards outside his door. Rune was incandescent about it, Uwe remembers with delight to this day. Of course, Rune found a way of paying it back the following summer by buying one of those monstrous lawn tractors. Then, by a combination of treachery, lies, and conspiracies, he managed to get approval at the annual meeting to take over Uwe's lawn-mowing responsibilities, on the grounds that he had slightly more adequate equipment than the one who was in charge of it before. As a partial restitution, Uwe managed some 4 years later to stop Rune's plans of putting in new windows in his house, because after 33 letters and a dozen angry telephone calls, the planning department gave up and accepted Uwe's argument that this would ruin the harmonious architectural character of the area. In the following 3 years, Rune refused to speak of Uwe as anything but that bloody red tapist. Uwe took it as a compliment. And the next year, he changed his own windows. When the next winter set in, the steering group decided that the area needed a new collective heating system. Quite coincidentally, of course, Rune and Uwe happened to have diametrically different views of what sort of heating system was required, which was jokingly referred to by the other neighbors as the Battle of the Water Pump. It grew into an eternal struggle between the two men. And so it continued. But as Sonia used to say, there were also some other moments. There weren't many of them, but women like Sonia and Anita knew how to make the most of them. Because there hadn't always been burning conflict. One summer in the 1980s, for instance, Uwe had bought a Saab 9000 and Rune a Volvo 760. And they were so pleased with this that they kept the peace for several weeks. Sonia and Anita even managed to get all four of them together for dinner on a few occasions. Rune and Anita's son, who'd had time to turn into a teenager by this stage, with all the divinely sanctioned charmlessness and impoliteness this entailed, sat at one end of the table like an irritable accessory. That boy was born angry, Sonia used to say with sadness in her voice. But Uwe and Rune managed to get along so well that they even had a little whiskey together at the end of the evening. Unfortunately, at their last dinner that summer, Uwe and Rune had the idea of having a barbecue, and obviously they started feuding at once about the most effective way of lighting Uwe's globe grill. Within 15 minutes, the argument had escalated so much in volume that Sonia and Anita agreed it might be best to eat their dinner separately after all. The two men had time to buy and sell a Volvo 760 Turbo and a Saab 9000i before they spoke to one another again. Meanwhile, the neighbors came and went in the row of houses. In the end, there had been so many new faces in the doorways of the other row houses that they all merged in a sea of gray. Where before there had been forest, there were only construction cranes. Uwe and Rune stood outside their houses, hands obstinately shoved into their trouser pockets like ancient relics in a new age. While a parade of uppity real estate agents barely able to see over their grapefruit size tie knots patrolled the little row between the houses and kept their eyes on them, like vultures watching aging water buffaloes. They could hardly wait to move some bloody consultant's families into their houses. Both Uwe and Rune knew that very well. Rune and Anita's son moved away from home when he was 20 in the early 1990s. Apparently he went to America, Uwe found out from Sonia. They hardly saw him again. From time to time, Anita had a telephone call around the time of Christmas, but he was so busy with his own things now, as Anita said when she tried to keep her spirits up, even though Sonia could see that she had to hold back her tears. Some boys leave everything behind and never look back. That was all there was to it. Rune never said anything about it, but to anyone who had known him a long time, it was as if he shrank a couple of inches in the years that followed, as if he sort of crumpled with a deep sigh and never really breathed properly again. A few years later, Rune and Uwe fell out for the 100th time about that collective heating system. Uwe stormed out of a residence association meeting in a fury and never returned. The last battle the two men fought was a bit into the noughties when Rune bought one of those automated robotic lawnmowers, which he'd ordered from Asia, and left it to whiz about on the lawn behind the houses. Rune could even remotely program it to cut special patterns, Sonia said in an impressed tone of voice one evening when she came home from visiting Anita. Uva soon caught on that this special pattern was the habit of that robotic little shit to consistently rumble back and forth all night outside Uva and Sonia's bedroom window. One evening, Sonia saw Uva fetch a screwdriver and walk out the veranda door. Next morning, the little robot, quite inexplicably, had driven right into Rune's pool. The month after, Rune went into the hospital for the first time. He never bought another lawnmower. Uva did not know himself how their animosity had begun, though he knew very well that it ended there and then. Afterwards, it was only memories for Uva, and a lack of them for Rune. And there were very likely people who thought one could not interpret men's feelings by the cars they drove. But when they moved onto the street, Uva drove a Saab 96 and Rune a Volvo 244. After the accident, Uva bought a Saab 95 so he'd have space for Sonia's wheelchair. That same year, Rune bought a Volvo 245 to have space for a stroller. 3 years later, Sonia got a more modern wheelchair and Uva bought a hatchback, a Saab 900. Rune bought a Volvo 265 because Anita had started talking about having another child. Then Uva bought two more Saab 900s and after that his first Saab 9000. Rune bought a Volvo 265 and eventually a Volvo 745 station wagon. But no more children came. One evening, Sonia came home and told Uva that Anita had been to the doctor. And a week later, a Volvo 740 stood parked in Rune's garage, the sedan model. Uva saw it when he washed his Saab. In the evening, Rune found a half bottle of whiskey outside his door. They never spoke about it. Maybe their sorrow over children that never came should have brought the two men closer. But sorrow is unreliable in that way. When people don't share it, there's a good chance that it will drive them apart instead. Maybe Uva never forgave Rune for having a son who he could not even get along with. Maybe Rune never forgave Uva for not being able to forgive him for it. Maybe neither of them forgave themselves for not being able to give the woman they loved more than anything what they wanted more than anything. Rune and Anita's lad grew up and cleared out of home as soon as he got the chance. And Rune went and bought a sporty BMW, one of those cars that only had space for two people and a handbag, because now it was only him and Anita, as he told Sonia when they met in the parking area. And one can't drive a Volvo all of one's life, he said with an attempt at a half-hearted smile. She could hear that he was trying to swallow his tears, and that was the moment when Uva realized that a part of Rune had given up forever. And for that, maybe neither Uva nor Rune forgave him. So there were certainly people who thought that feelings could not be judged by looking at cars. But they were wrong.